Souza is going to join us. And you know, Ed, Ed's on TV. He's busy. Too busy for us now. It's unbelievable. But he joins us.
I'd never Hollywood you, Steve.
Thank you. Thank you. That's what Paul Matisse calls me Hollywood. It's very unfair. I didn't realize it was a derisive term I'm realizing.
Yeah, it's not positive, and I would say that is an unfair characterization of you, because I've seen you at work, on the road, et cetera, and you have time for everybody. It's part of what makes what you do special, so don't listen to that Hollywood stuff.
Well, I speaking of making time for people, I knew yesterday that Taraz was going to be the real deal, because I saw Garrett O'Rourke made the drive over to Churchill. I said, oh, boy, I said, this Philly's going to air. And she did.
And she did. Yeah. And I picked against her, obviously, didn't know who would be in attendance when I had to submit my picks. And Al Philly ran well to be second. So,
yeah,
hopefully those listening had a chance maybe to do something in the exotic, but as I tweeted before the race, it was impossible to ignore the confidence coming from Garrett. So she delivered.
Well, big time, and didn't get a big fig. What did you get the?
I didn't look it up. I should have done that.
Okay, curious. Yeah, when you get a chance.
When I saw the time, I kind of guessed maybe low 80s, but I mean, they were going quick all day yesterday, so I could see where that maybe suppressed things overall.
Interesting. All right. Well, so but
yeah, we'll pull
stylish.
It up and compare.
She was certainly stylish. That's for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. No, yeah. I mean, front end and shook him away. And I mean, like I said, I didn't think Al Philly ran all that poorly, and obviously her number is going to come back slower than the winner.
Yeah, very much. Well, before we dive into, what's going on at Churchill and anywhere else that you've been looking, we didn't talk at, pre-cup, and here's our first chance to also, do some postscript too. How did you make out? What went right? And what were your overall impressions?
Well, those know that follow Churchill, or at least my handicapping of it, been in a slump here, so I don't say this to brag. It's a humbling game and it pulls you down quickly, but it was personally my best Breeders' Cup wager wise. So feel good about making the most of my opinions, which were mainly against some favorites that I thought were really vulnerable, Omaha Beach and Midnight Bizou especially. Sister Charlie was one favorite I did lean on, so that didn't work out, but I have to say, my first impulse in the distaff was use a bunch and Bricks and Mortar look good and just try to beat Midnight Bizou. The more I looked at the race, the more just everything kept pointing to Blue Prize as being the one, and ultimately decided to make a big play on her at the price, and that was a big part of my success. So,
nice.
I see a lot of people talk about, the strong opinion, and sometimes the strong opinion is against the favorite, and there's opportunity to make the most of that. But in this case, really pressing and finding an opinion on the winner as well was the path for me for a good cup. So kudos to the connections to the runner-up, too. I mean, what a year to run since January, very similar to Bricks and Mortar. So. It was fun to see the good horses throw down, and Bricks and Mortar is my horse of the year. But the performances we saw in that late pick five, starting with Matoli, I thought maybe one of the better cups in terms of what we saw from each of the winners. Uni, et cetera.
And got Stormy. That's a great point.
Yeah, several.
That's a great point. In fact, well, really, all of Saturday. I mean, not that there was anything wrong with the juvenile performances, but things went. Obviously, the situation associated with losing Maxfield and Dennis's moment. Literally, on hands and knees. I mean, unbelievable. And Alex Evers' picture of him, literally on his knees and his nose on the ground. it tells you all you need to know. But that kind of, considering that that was the feature on Friday, it was kind of left everybody like, oh boy, what do we make of this? There's certainly nothing wrong with storming the court as a winner, and you know, I
like the runner up coming out of there too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it just sort of everybody's. You know, everybody kind of came away a little, you know, kind of blinking, you know, like they got hit, you know, like they got hit in the head with a basketball at that point. Then you have to regroup and come at it on Saturday. But you're right. Saturday's parade of performances and you know, even Bricks and Mortar's win was a thriller, you know, with United extending him down the stretch.
Yeah, and, you know, Aiden's Anthony Van Dijk may have been best, had some trouble, but, you know, that's part of our racing here with the way the turf courses are, and it was exciting. And I know Bricks and Mortar, and, you know, you hear this with other horses, and Yada was probably the most famous example recently, but, you know, this whole who'd they beat, no, you know, 50-1 United, and whoever that horse was at Fairgrounds that made him work for every step, I never understand those complaints. I mean, these are graded stakes races, and horses jump up, and you want them to earn it. And the fact that Bricks and Mortar did it twice, got on his belly, to use a cliche, and comes out of the year undefeated after being challenged like that in these marquee races really speaks to his talent, I think.
Well, plenty of good racing, and there's actually seemingly a number of Eclipse Award candidates that we're going to see between now and probably opening day and opening week at Santa Anita in December, not the least of which Maximum Security coming back in the Cigar Mile, the two-year-olds like Tis the Law. I mean, what happens if Tis the Law comes to town, Ed, and wins the Jockey Club?
I think he's the champion. You know, barring, even though it's not a grade one, I would say if Storm the Court won the Low South Futurity, that would definitely be enough for him with the Breeders' Cup win. But Tis the Law definitely could rest the top mantle until otherwise other action with a win here is my read. And he would probably get my vote.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that's one of the moments that we're going to anticipate, and plenty of good spots. And then on a day-to-day basis, the racing has really been good. And talk a little bit about it as we look at the weekend.
Yeah, I'm surprised, to be honest, you know, some of the all sources handle numbers. You know, Churchill does well and is, you know, usually the third most bet on track after the East and West Coast. But people are sleeping on this meet, and they shouldn't be, because full fields, big purses, a condition book that invites competition. You know, Joe Christofek and I talking this morning. I mean, there's races where you feel comfortable going against the favorite, but you're still four or five deep regularly. So again, a strong opinion, you're going to get your price if you're against the favorite, especially. You know, I'm kind of doing my job as a shill, but I believe in it too, because it's been tough sledding to pick winners on top. But if you spread in the right races and nail the right winners, these pick fives are paying in the thousands regularly.
Yep.
And the single six, which paid $3,000 yesterday, but we've had some $8,000-$9,000 payouts with a steady stream of second and third choices. So I encourage people to at least take a look, and you know, maybe something will catch your eye. And the fields are generally full enough to get a price.
This same storyline going on in New York as well, and the. For whatever reason, wherever the horses were hiding, they're all coming out in force right now. Anything for today before we look at the weekend?
Yeah, I do. I have three races to go over, and one of them is today. We are on the turf here at Churchill today. We were off yesterday and then canceled Wednesday. But there's a mile and 3/8 allowance race 9 today. And I'm swinging for the fences. I like number 11, Strike My Fancy, who I believe 20-1 on the morning line. And this is first time for the Bantam Matt Shire, and stretches out. And this one's going to need a trip under Bridge Mahan, but, you know, 20-1, you usually need things to go your way. But I think the stretch out will help. They tried a mile and 5/16 at Kentucky Downs when still a maiden, just kind of ran evenly. But I do think, given the pedigree, Smart Strike out of an Archmare, and, you know, a little more development in this one as he's aged, I just think worth a flyer at 20-1.
Nice. Going to go mile and 3/8 on the turf. And so, you know, the post shouldn't be a killer. Plenty of room.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's some, and even on Brisnet needs to find a few points, you know, on the speed rating wise. But I just, that bound change and the confidence to come in this spot, the maiden win came against Claimers, so there's definitely a reach. But just one of those races that look really competitive to me. I mean, I think I'll probably have 5 or 6 long priced horses as an A on my grid. Just, you know, thinking. One of these big prices has to hit. And this one just stuck out to me, that big 20-1 number, maybe a chance to be a hero. But there were some things to like in a race that was super competitive.
Absolutely. That's why we like turf and big full fields. And
that's right.
It's all about trips and pace. So, all right.
Couldn't,
I like it.
Couldn't come on here after that spiel about how competitive the racing is and give you a 3-2.
There you go.
But I'm sticking with prices on the turf in the feature tomorrow too, Steve, the River City. I like Blue Sky Cowboy, who's definitely going to need things really to go his way to have something to run down. But this is a great opportunity, I think. Mr. Misunderstood, I don't like at all, is the favorite. Just better days behind him, I think, and can't trust at a short price. And admissions office, too, just kind of the type that leaves you wanting more and sucks people in. And both very talented horses, but at short prices, I'm going to try to beat both of them. And I thought Blue Sky Cowboy, if things go his way and he's one of the ones rolling at the end, could give a bit of a thrill. In the, you know, $30-$40 range. And then number 7, Bemis Boy, took money against allowance types. And really, those allowance races at Keeneland on the turf are as good a quality as some listed stakes elsewhere. And his numbers fit here. And I think under Julian Leperoux, he's maybe a dangerous, even front-end threat or close to it. So 3-7 for me in the River City, and both look like prices on the morning line and should be with Mr. Misunderstood and admissions office in there.
Yeah, there's no reason to just give in to either one. And, you know, admission office, we talked earlier with Marty, and Marty likes admission office, but because he thinks he's on a real nice development arc overall. But I don't know how much pace then Blue Sky Cowboy, Sophie Doyle, you know, she may have to ask a little bit and keep Blue Sky Cowboy from losing touch with this
field. Right.
The horse we talked to Charlie Lopresti about that won at Kentucky Downs, Get Western, may very well be able to dictate, looking around at this, he may be able to dictate terms in here pretty well. Now that I'm kind of digging through, boy, it's the invasion of the Chicago outfits between Michelle Boyce and Tony Granitz, and everybody's come to town.
Like you said, the horse is out of the woodwork.
Yeah, big time. You know, Connor Murphy's horse, 5-1, that E-Mouse, may get a very nice trip. You know, sitting, might set up shop in proximity to the pace.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, I've looked at a couple big prices, but I did think of sort of the logicals based on morning line, and I haven't seen the designer numbers yet, like Thoroughgraph or Ragazin, but just looking at PPs, he had sort of the look of a horse that maybe was rounding into a big one here.
This is you're going to have a cavalry charge late. All right, what else?
Right, that's for sure. I looked at the Bob Hope because I knew 1,000 words. I mean, they're close on the morning line, but I can't imagine 1,000 words won't be odds on.
He's not. And, he's not running.
He's not. Okay. Well,
no, he's coming out.
Our buddy Vinny's going to be disappointed because he has a future wager on him. So, all right. Well, I guess Strong Constitution isn't worth the bet anymore because now he'll be the one who's 1-2. But,
well, what about the other? What about the other Baffert?
I did think it was a 2-horse race.
Interesting. All right. Yeah. I also thought the horse of Eric Johnson's down inside, that Rager, is a bit of a mystery horse in here.
And with 2-year-olds too. I mean, we usually talk with 3-year-olds with the development, but I mean, there's. If you have a thought of what can improve at 7, then, you know, I wouldn't, especially now. I mean, Strong Constitution just shouldn't be so over bad. So it's probably just a watch for me.
All right. Well, we'll be watching you and Joe and James and Brandon. They got the whole team.
That's right.
Bringing everybody all the action from the Downs. And did you go out, Ed, and buy the book yet? Did you buy Better Lucky Than Good?
I have not, and I have not gotten Sir Barton yet either. So need some reading material on my Christmas list.
Well, don't forget, and I'm glad you brought up Sir Barton too, because a reminder again, tomorrow at the Horse Park, the Kentucky Book Fair and the Kentucky Book Festival continues. But tomorrow, Peter Lee, Spectacular Bid, Jennifer Kelly, Sir Barton, and Lenny Shulman. Justify. All will be available morning and afternoon to sign books.
Very nice.
Fabulous.
That's at the Horse Park?
Yeah, it's at the Horse Park tomorrow.
Oh. All right.
Go see Sergeant Reckless.
I'll send a mule.
All right. Go see. Can go see Point Given and Funny Side. All right.
Yeah.
Other. You've never been.
The standard bread there.
I'm not sure. That's that. Leave that to you. That's your bailiwick.
I know
to come through with the mixed breeds. You'll bet anything. You know, I did. You are following a big Steeler fan. So, what was your take on last night's lunacy?
Fan. Yeah. It ruined the victory for me. I mean, I was feeling pretty good as that clock was winding down and pleased to, you know, get a win like that in the division. And then to watch that unfold was disgusting, just to be blunt yeah. about it. It left a really
just
sour taste in my mouth. And, you know, that's all you can say. I mean, I don't, you know, don't think the guy should be kicked out of the league, but certainly a long sabbatical is in order.
That seems to be the consensus. Well, no sabbatical for Ed and the team at Churchill, and another good weekend of racing, and looking forward down the road to the Clark. We'll also talk to James before we wrap up today. Jeff Siegel's going to join us next. Ed, have a great weekend.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Good to talk again, Steve. My pleasure.
Good to catch up. Ed DeRosa,
yeah,
everybody. We'll take a last break, and when we come back, Jeff Siegel. We'll talk Del Mar and then James to close out a busy weekend preview at the races here on SiriusXM. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on SiriusXM Radio.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the song on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood fraternities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through HorseBills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the HorseBills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. HorseBills.com. Toll-free number 888-9000. 938-4643.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
When you grow up, live like a good boy ought to. And your mama takes a shine to put their son.
We're back at the races, 20-plus into hour three. It's been a busy morning and another nice weekend of racing ahead at Del Mar, and that includes the Grade 3 Bob Hope. And even without 1,000 words, still some interesting two-year-olds and some interesting results, actually, from the last few days. And then yesterday, a pretty flashy maiden winner as well to talk about. Jeff Siegel joins us. XBTV, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent.
Good.
We've had just a kind of a breakneck morning here, and
well,
a little bit of everything.
I've been I'm 3 hours behind you, so I've been watching and doing some work. And if you got some breaking news that I don't know about, I'd sure like to hear it.
Well, breakneck. It was just breakneck. Kind of a breakneck morning, not breaking. Breaking news. I don't know. Let me see. Let me go to Twitter. See if there's any. Well, there might be some breaking news in Washington, but we'll avoid that for now.
Yeah. Well, I'm watching it. So sorry. I can tell you nothing's going on yet so far.
Well, exactly. Jeff, a couple of results from last weekend that we were, you know, looking forward to, you know, between the Desi Arnaz and you had the Let It Ride. The story that was really nice, and Jay Privman wrote about it, Victor Trujillo on his birthday, no less, with Evan Romont at 33-1. Kick off the meet in the Catherine Crosby with Wicked Old Fashioned and a big initial stake win for Trujillo. That was a nice story.
Yeah, it was. It was nice. Unexpected. I didn't really dive into that one very enthusiastically. Unfortunately, I didn't give him much of a look. But you know, anytime something like that happens and you get an upset from somewhere they don't expect, it's good for the little guy. And I was glad to see that.
Any other performances that caught your eye that we want to, you know, kind of keep track of? Obviously, the two-year-olds, you know, at Del Mar at this meet, you know, the horses that, you know, between the firsters and some horses that might have run into buzzsaws at Santa Anita. Couple of thoughts about anybody that you made notes on?
Well, Peter Erton had a colt that really impressed me. An American Pharoah two-year-old named Royal Act. He won at First Asking last, I think it was Sunday. You know, these American Pharoahs are running. I don't know why they're strictly grass at this stage. Sometimes, you know, you run a horse long because you expect them to be better routing, and the option is there only for turf. And I'm not sure whether that was necessarily the thinking that Peter had with Royal Act in a mile race at Del Mar. He had trained really well on the dirt, but he acted like a route horse. Got bet down to the favorites role and won, I thought, visually very impressively, even though the margin's only a half length. I mean, he was wide, he got hooked, and he dug down deep, and came his last eighth in 11-3 and still won. And I just thought that was a colt that just really struck me as being a kind of colt that's going to be important next year as a three-year-old, if he can run on dirt. And Peter has said that, you know, he's going to get there, you know, eventually on dirt. But it's just amazing to me how well the American Pharoahs have won. They've routed, they've sprinted, they've run on grass, fillies and colts. So, you know, that's kind of exciting to see a stallion like that, who we all thought would make it as a stallion, making it as a stallion, because so many of them don't. And to see yet another American Pharoah run so well is pleasing, and I'm sure there's many more to come.
How about even yesterday, as racing resumed, the Dominus colt from Baffert, that Speedy Justice yesterday?
Yeah, now here's another colt that if you looked at the workouts on xbtv.com, he had a gate work. I wasn't following him that closely, so he was entered, and I said, I'll just check out the workout. And, on the dirt, he worked him from the gate in 59-3, and he just looked like a really, really good colt. So he makes his debut on grass. And, again, I think that's more of a function of just, you know, the race is there. He's fast. It's on the grass. You know, throw him in there and see what we can do. He's never obviously trained on it. And he was, I think he was 5-2 in the morning line. I gave him out as a daymaker, thinking that, you know, he would probably win and probably get that. And he goes into the gate, he's 2-1. I said, well, this is nice, you know, maybe he's not as good as I think he is. I don't know, but we'll see. And they sprung the latch, and he's 7-5, and he's battling in the lead. And again, moment of truth comes at the quarter pole when he's battling head and end in the lead, and you don't know whether he's going to go on or back out. So you kind of wait and see what happens. And then he just kicked on really impressively. And you wouldn't buy as many lengths as he did, and doing it last eighth in like 11-1 or something like that. I mean, that's a good colt. And I don't know how far he's going to run, really, when you think about that. But Bob's got himself a very, very fast horse, and I'm going to be very interested to see how he performs down the road. He's someone to follow for sure.
Yeah, I'm just looking.
Justice Speedy, is his name.
Speedy Justice. Right. He's a Dominus out of a came home mare. So
yeah.
there could be plenty of a little stamina boost there. Was bred by Michael and Nadia Sigmund.
Yeah.
Actually, I take that back. That's the owners. Greg Justice.
Yes.
Yeah, Greg
right.
Justice, Justice Farmbred.
I don't think they gave much money for this colt either.
No.
The other, you know, 40,000, something like that. I thought.
Yep, 45,000.
Yeah. He won by 7. He won by 7 going 5/8 on the grass. That's pretty impressive. So he's one to follow. And, again, I don't know how far he'll run, but we shall. He's got a chance to be a really nice goat.
Well, he had worked three straight 59 and change 5/8 at Santa Anita, including two gate works, and just looked up the number 76 buyer too for this. And
yeah, well, I
so
don't
nice...
think that really kind of does him justice because he did all his running in the last eight. You know, I mean, he went off pretty slow, 22-2, and then they picked it up from there. But I think he's going to be okay, and you know, we'll just have to see. I having a grass 2-year-old this time of the year is a good one. It's kind of frustrating because then you're saying, okay, now what do I do? And so many of them, you know, they get tested on grass, and then they go to the dirt and they can't handle it, and that Derby fever kicks over, and sometimes you lose sight of what you're supposed to be doing. But Bob's pretty level-headed. I think he'll do by Speedy Justice.
The Baffert that we should also mention from last week was the Saturday 2-year-old Authentic. I think that race is going to end up grading out very well. 86 buyer, the Into Mischief colt, going 5.5. That was mid card on Saturday.
You know, I'd watched him work, and I knew that he was a nice colt. I wasn't sure that he was any kind of Finchian or anything like that, because there's another colt in there that had worked pretty well that I sort of liked, a horse named Absolute Unit, who actually made the lead in that race and then got run over. But Authentic got crushed. He got beat like the race was over before it even started, and then he went out and did it. 103-3, Del Mar, which is not, Del Mar's main track isn't as deep and as slow as Santa Anita's, but it's still not the old Del Mar, the old glib Del, fast Del Mar track. So that's good time. And again, he did it the way you'd like to see it, whereas he was, you know, he socked the pace, he was outside, he had that option, and then kicked on with it when he was asked to go. And when you got a colt by Into Mischief, you're probably thinking miler, but he strikes me as the kind of colt that'll go on. So this is the second wave of 2-year-olds that Bob has had. He went early with some of his more precocious ones during Del Mar, and, you know, the Eight Rings and that group, and now he's got a new wave coming. And he's got a couple of colts that were entered in the Bob Hope on Saturday, tomorrow, one of which he mentioned won't run 1,000 words. But High Velocity is another one of those first-time-out maiden winners, this one by Quality Road, that looks like he's got a chance to be a good colt as well. So it's always refreshing to see these new faces show up, and, you know, we'll see what happens down the road with these horses and others that are waiting in the wings.
Well, and we'll talk about the Bob Hope momentarily. Let's glance, though, at the Friday card for just a second. Or actually, you know what? The Friday card, there's nothing. I don't have to worry about that. Let's go to the Saturday card. And before we talk about the Bob Hope, what about the fillies that go in the sixth? And speaking of Baffert, here is a Liam's Map filly making a second start. Map maker for Jane Lyon, and out of one of my favorite fillies from a few years ago, Runway Model, and kind of disappointed, I think, in the debut, and you know, had a kind of a difficult start, didn't get off well, and never really got involved. Map maker, there's LNJ Foxwoods for Mandela, and this is also a nicely bred one, Carpe Diem out of Gemswick Park, who was either Albertrani or McLaughlin.
Well, I had watched Map Maker train before her first start. I didn't get the impression that she was anything special, and she didn't run very well for sure. I'm fairly confident that she'll do better, but I don't think she's one of the better ones that he has right now. And I see Van Dyke gets off and rides Parker for Richard Mandela. Now, Parker I think she's okay. I mean, that's really who beat her. Auberge is an exceptional prospect.
Mm-hmm.
She won that race by almost 8, but she did it like a really, really good filly. And I don't know whether Parker could ever beat a filly as good as Auberge, but there may not be one. I'm sure there's probably not one in her that good here. So going 6.5, I would expect her to improve. And maybe she's the one to beat. Night on the Town is a first term by Street Sense, $425,000 yearling that Mandela also has in the race. Pratt rides her, and Richard doesn't have the greatest reputation for winning at First Asking, but this is a filly that looks like she's been trained to win right now. I mean, they've been honing on her pretty well, and she's been fairly fit for a while. Didn't run in Santa Anita, but she trained really well there. And I'm kind of excited to see Night on the Town run in that same race. That's the sixth on Saturday at Del Mar.
Well, there's a good first-level allowance going a mile and a 16th on the grass after the 6th. The 6th starts the late pick 4, and then we get to the Bob Hope. And even without the presence of Thousand Words, it's still an interesting group of, well, what do we have now, 5?
Yeah, the two that will get most of the play here are, obviously, I mentioned High Velocity. That's the Gary and Mary West Colt, Quality Road Colt, bet down to 3-5 in his debut over a deep track, and had the option. I mean, had the good trip on the outside, stock kicked clear, won nicely. Another one that hadn't trained like he was one of Bob's best ones, but obviously good enough to win and good enough to be a nice prospect. Thousand Words was the one that really, really kind of stood out when he won his maiden and did it like a colt that could be a Derby-type colt. But Bob didn't want to crank him up right back, and I think he's going to go easy with him. But High Velocity definitely ran well enough in his debut to win right back. Strong Constitution, another one of those running constitutions, first crop from that incredibly promising Tappet Stallion. He won at First Asking very nicely. I liked him back in the Sunny Slope. He got beat a neck that day. I thought 5-2 was an excellent price. He was down on the rail the inside the whole way, didn't break all that well, but I thought he had his chance and just got beat by the winner of that race, 4 Left, came back and got beat last week at Golden Gate Fields in a very hot race. But Strong Constitution has got a little bit of an edge in experience. He's got that good outside draw, so if High Velocity can be Strong Constitution, then onward and upward. I think those are the two main players in the Bob Hope.
I keep bringing up Rager, the Andrew Lerner for Eric Johnson, and I'm just kind of intrigued whenever we see a surface switch. Second-time starter, an Into Mischief colt that won at First Asking, going 5.5 on the turf at Santa Anita just, 3.5 weeks ago. And, you know, you think about the Anode d'Or that showed up at a Golden Gate for Blaine Wright, who ran so well first-time dirt in the juvenile. And I am just sort of intrigued by this horse. I've looked at some of the pedigree work, and there's really not a lot to go on. This was the first foal out of the mare, Distorted Champ. She happens to be a half to Champ Pegasus, who you'll recall, the million-dollar earner from a few years ago. And Drysdale, who trained Champ Pegasus?
Yeah. I Rager, first of all, he was 19-1 when he won his debut. That's number one. He hadn't shown much of anything on the dirt prior to that. I don't know if Andrew Lerner decided to try him on grass just because of the pedigree that you mentioned, or whether or not it was just, hey, I don't think he can do much on dirt. Let's throw him in a grass race and see what we got. And, again, 19-1, he won the race. It wasn't a real strong race coming in or going out. He did show some moxie to win. I'll give him that. Came from off the pace and rallied pretty gamely to win. But again, that was on turf. Now he's back on the dirt, a surface that he really hasn't shown anything on. $87,000, you know, in the OBS sale last in the summer. I think it's June. I think the sale is, and that's not a lot of money for an Into Mischief. The good ones bring money, and the ones that aren't that good don't bring that much. And so I wasn't really that high on him. I just kind of dismissed him when he won, but he showed me something. Now, whether or not he can do that against arguably a much tougher field and then switching the surface, I guess that's what they have to find out. So we'll see. But he is 12-1 on the morning line. At least he was prior to 1,000 Words being scratched, so he'll go lower. But we'll see if he can duplicate that, and, you know, we'll find out which direction he's going in.
Well, and anxious to see what Andy Harrington might have to say. Any plays, anything else that any day makers, Jeff, that are harboring?
I really haven't gotten into the nuts and bolts yet. I've looked at the card. I'll tell you, there's an interesting race today. You mentioned about you know, the card today, and there's some plays there. I've got a daymaker there. You can check that out on the website. I'm not supposed to give that one out for free. You know,
okay,
you know.
That's fine.
That's what they told me anyway.
All right, that's good.
But we've got, of course, we've got today. We've got the Stronach 5 carryover there.
Yeah,
that's intriguing. And I this one I actually can. I can talk about this one free.
All right.
You know, there's a filly running. There's a six. Leg one is at Gulfstream Park West. It's a sixth race, and there's a 7.5 furlong optional claimer. And there's a filly number 3 on the program, Biasacci, who is 8-1.
Mm-hmm.
That I think if you're playing that, you should use her. She won first time out sprinting on the dirt. She showed a lot of moxie in that race, so she was didn't get out all that well. She moved up inside. Then she moved to the outside, and she won the race, beating the favorite, who was 14 lengths clear of everybody else. The buyer number was pretty strong. She's out of a Fusaichi Pegasus mare, which indicates to me that she should run a little farther and go in 7.5 on the grass. I think at 8-1 in what looks to be a very modest field, I think if you're playing the Stronach 5, that you would consider number 3 Biasacci as a possible horse to include, and if not, then maybe just a straight play. You know, leg 3's got an interesting horse in there. That's Laurel's 9th, going a one-turn mile. There's a Cantheros gelding named Bold Trek, who has one really bad race on dirt, and all of the other races are on grass. And if he were to run back to his grass races on the dirt, he could win. But again, you look at that one dirt race, you kind of scratch your head. But he has a bullet work at Laurel on the dirt since his last race, and I don't think he ran badly on the dirt because he didn't like it. I just think something happened to him. He got behind horses, and that was the end of that. But if you're looking for another decent price in the ninth at Laurel today as part of that Stronach 5 carryover sequence, number 4, Bold Trek, has a good chance in that race. So, and one more, again, leg 4 in the Stronach 5 takes place at Golden Gate Fields. There's a horse named Uncontainable. He was 10-1 in the morning line in that sequence. That's the race at Golden Gate that'll third race at Golden Gate. He just won a nice race with a big number and a horse that came back and won and verified the race. And although he's in the 9 hole, he's moving up in class. I think he's lightly raced. I think he can take on the class hike. And I think Uncontainable at Golden Gate today has got a chance to come right back and do it again at another nice price. So those are price horses that I would certainly consider, even if you're not playing the Stronach 5, play them separately or however you want to play them, because I think, I mean, we only have to get one of them home, let's put it that way. But I think all 3 have a chance to do some damage.
Well, and you know, we talked to Brian Nadeau about an hour ago and went through the sequence, and Brian is on board with you on all of them, actually.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I didn't hear that. So that's good. That's absolutely.
Yeah.
I always like confirmation from a good handicapper that at least I'm not completely off base.
Well, and I, you know, it's funny that Besaichi is particularly interesting to me, because when you're looking at a group like this, having a horse that won, winning at first asking, you know, at any level is always a good sign. It doesn't really, you know, doesn't even matter. Sometimes, you know, you'll see a horse try allowance company off of a maiden claiming win. And just the fact that a horse won upon debut is an endorsement, even if it's at a lower level. And, you know, another side to this, you got to like, did you notice the Big Beast is 4-7 so far, first-time turf?
I did not notice that. I know that he had a nice winter out here, nice cold out here at Del Mar, so that's good. But Biasici, another thing that you mentioned, first time out at Gulfstream Park West going 6 furlongs. That's a taxing race. I mean, I can see horses winning at 5, 5.5. You win first time out doing 3/4, and you win it by a nose, which is good because it means you're in the battle. It also is nice that the third horse is 14 lengths behind.
Right.
The buyer number of 57 was good. And again, at 8-1 in the morning line, I mean, this is a filly that had a bullet work at Gulfstream Park, not Gulfstream Park West, but Gulfstream Park, fastest of 37. So the fact that she won the first asking, I don't think was any kind of shock. And again, when you come back in the starter optional claiming race, because they ran her for maiden 35, so she's eligible, Biasacci is a kind of filly that You know, I could see come right back and do it again. I mean, I really, and again, you go back and watch the video, you see how they move, you see how they run, and you come away thinking that's not a bad filly, you know. And so we'll see what happens. That's the sixth today at Gulfstream Park West.
Jeff Siegel, everybody, J. Siegel Racing on Twitter and at ExpressBet. Daymakers, you've got Jeff's commentary as well, and all the work that goes in at xbtv.com. Jeff, have a terrific weekend. I appreciate it.
Sounds great. Talk to you soon.
You bet. Jeff Siegel, everybody. And we've got a choice. We're trying to dig up Scully, although Scully was doing a video with, he said, with Vance Hansen, but he said he thought he'd be done easily by now. You know, we could do Case. Take, you know what? Take a last break. And unless Scully turned up, and we'll come back. And if we have Scully, we got him. If not, I'll send you out into the weekend with a variety of, I don't know, a couple of, maybe a couple of plays or some final thoughts. What didn't we do today? We didn't really get to Laurel. Those, well, we talked about them during the week, though, so you'll be all right in that front. All right. Take a last break, then. And we'll see where your head's at when we come back.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kit the Sun on Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9000. 938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back about 10 minutes to close out the morning. James Scully is joining us. And the one piece of news that I did not yet get to today, the Maryland Jockey Club with another kind of an expansion off of that qualifier last year, the win and you're in scenario. And it's kind of clever. They're calling it Win Today, See You in May. And not only are there qualifiers into Preakness, but they expanded it. And there's a qualifier into the Dixie and into the Maryland Sprint, which should be renamed the Hirsch Jacobs. And also the Searching, the Black Eyed Susan has got three win in your ins now. The Pimlico Special has got some. It's very clever, actually. And the Hilltop is going to use the Sanibel Island at Gulfstream. The Pimlico Special is going to use the Charlestown Classic in April. The Oaklawn Handicap and the Hal's Hope as winning your ins. The Black Eyed Susan, the Weber City Miss, the Gulfstream Oaks, and the Fantasy. Each of the top three Fantasy will have the top three will have their fees waived into the Black Eyed Susan. The Searching is the Orchid is going to feed in. The Count Fleet at Oaklawn is going to feed into the Maryland Sprint. The Golden Gate Mile into the Dixie. And the San Francisco Mile at Golden Gate. And for the Preakness, again, the Tessio, the Oaklawn Invitational, and the El Camino Real. So very nice, too, that they reached out. Made arrangements with Oaklawn, not just Gulfstream and Golden Gate either. So very cool. And Chris Mers, who, of course, came up under Hammer at Santa Anita, racing secretary for the MJC, and with George Ann Hale at the ready as well. So very cool. I like this. Nice to get James. Casey found you. You were hiding.
Yes, thankfully. I tell you, I think we're. He still has a Rolodex from like years ago. I think he has all my old numbers, but came across the right one finally. So,
oh, cool. All right, good.
And I'm glad. That plan for the win today, see you in May. I like it, and you know, I think it's great for Maryland racing with this year's Preakness. There's a new sense of enthusiasm that they've got the future settled, because that's sort of been a dark cloud hanging over them for years. So I like those kind of ideas.
Well, for those that didn't hear Alan Foreman earlier today, Alan says that it looks like the legislation that they need to pursue in Annapolis, that is going to be introduced even earlier than expected, and that all the things, the components of the project for both Laurel and Pimlico looks like they're advancing smoothly. So I'm a big fan and a big proponent. I love it. Let's James, let's dive in. Let's get some plays. We got about 6-7 minutes. And any recapping from last week that was notable?
Yeah, I mean, pretty good race in there. A little bit of an upset with Mr. Dumas, who, yep. Had different it's funny how they got that name by the jockey club, because if you're at the races when he's running, everybody's like, hey, you know, that's not really his name, but won't say it on the air.
You can say dumbass. It's all right. That's not a...
But... and this week, it's another, this Saturday, is another turf stake race. This one's for older horses. It's the River City at 1 1/8. Got a field of 10, pretty competitive field. One thing about it, on Steve, is on paper, not much speed at all in the race. I think there's like really just one speed type in there. And the morning line favorite, I think, will be a Mission Office. And one thing about him is that 4-year-old, he's looking for his first stakes win, but he's had some trouble getting out of the starting gate. He's been pretty far back in all but one of his starts. So it'll be interesting to see if Jose Ortiz can get him into a little bit of better spot in the early going. The other main horse of interest is Mr. Misunderstood, 4 for 5 on the Churchill Downs turf and making a title defense. But he is winless from 4 races this year. A little bit worried about that last race. He was really
Watt, I thought, in that Remington Green. I'm just not sure if he's sharp enough. I'm going to go with the speed in the race, Steve, and it's number 8, Get Western. Mm-hmm. It's a 4-year-old gelding by Get Stormy. Never been a mile and an eighth, but I think he might be able to get the trip if the turf continues to play favorably towards the front-running types, as we've witnessed the last couple weeks. They're back on the grass today. The turfless is good today, so I'll be watching those races at Churchill. But Get Western won 2 in a row. I thought he looked really good doing so in the Old Friends Stakes at Kentucky Downs. Came back last time in a stakes. I mean, basically that allowance at Keeneland. Sacred Life was coming off a runner-up in the Bernard Baruch. It was a really a nice turf horse for Chad Brown. So Get Western led into the stretch last time. Wound up running fourth. I think he gets the right setup. The other horse I like in there a little bit is Emmaus, because he's got some tactical foot, too. I think from post two with Shannon Hill, he's really coming in the race in good form for Connor Murphy to get the right trip right behind the speed and be in a prominent spot in upper stretch. So I'm going to get Western Emmaus in the River City.
Those are the two that I brought up with Ed earlier.
Did you?
He
probably went in a different direction and picked all late runners.
Ed's looking for 50-to-1 shots in every race. That's I love it. What else you got?
Well, I'll work back a little bit just on the late pick 5 tomorrow, race number 7. I do like a long shot in there. I'm intrigued by number 1, Chikara. For Beck Calhoun, this First Samurai filly stretches out to a turf route for the first time. Really has plenty of pedigree for the 1 mile distance. And I just think her last two sprint efforts were pretty good. Had a little bit of a rough trip last time, but I think she's going to show good speed with David Cohen from the inside. The favorites in that race are a little bit vulnerable, in my estimation. Lady Rosalie and Keep the Main Thing. Definitely respect both. But I'm going to try to beat him with Chikara, big price there in race number 7.
Go ahead.
And then in race number 8, definitely will use Mr. Monomoy. I mean, his comeback and work to half-mile bullet work for Brad Cox. Really did get shuffled back in the early going of that debut. It looks extremely tough to beat in race number 8 as the probable favorite. The one horse I will, though, use is Romario, especially if inside speed's playing okay, because I thought that was a pretty sharp effort. Obviously came against Maiden 50 claimers, but this colt had been drilling like fast work. So, I mean, people have taken note of it, either the new owner, or Paul Holpus, because he was claimed out of that third place effort, a pretty solid effort where he, chased the wire-to-wire winner Artemis Eagle all the way and wound up third. So I'm going to use Mr. Monomoy and Romario in race number 8. Race number 9 is a 1 mile allowance race, one turn allowance for fillies and mares 3 and up. That race, both the 1 and the 2 they raced against each other in a similar maiden race. They both get rid of What Ails You and Cardamon. Both are in with a chance, but I really like Asmussen's filly on the far outside, Halla Walla. Really came out of a real tough allowance race at Saratoga 2 back. With that Arafana, who's now 4-for-4 for Kelly Rubley, a Curlin filly, and then O Circle of Love, who came right back to win a Belmont allowance by about 5 lengths. That was a really good race. Last time, a pretty tough field at Keeneland. Halala ran second. The third place filly came back and crushed the allowance rebels at Churchill. So he's been in some salty races, and as opposed to the two inside fillies in race number 9, Halala has been tested against good rivals. So look, with that outside post, I look for her to prove best.
We need a last-minute Friday play.
You got it. Race number 6 today at the 1 mile turf allowance race. Favorites are vulnerable in there. Number 3, Storytime for Tom Amos. Loves the 1 mile trip. Should relish the drop down from the Valley View last time. 10-1 with James Grand, the 3 and the 6 race today at Churchill.
That's got you written all over it. 10-1 with Amos. I love it. James, thanks a lot. Good luck this weekend.
Good luck to you, Steve. Thanks.
James_Scully111 earlier. COTB_Nadeau, N-A-D-E-A-O, Brian Nadeau with the Stronach 5 play. Good luck to those digging in there. We had Marty McGee, Hammer, Ed DeRosa, Jeff Siegel, and a big thank you to Alan Foreman. Good luck this weekend, everybody. We've got HRRN coverage, 3 o'clock right here on Sirius XM tomorrow, Equine Forum and down the stretch and more. Back with you on Monday, and I'll ideally have a kitchen sink to actually be able to wash dishes. Maybe I'll have a stove. We won't be out in the backyard cooking marshmallows. Great to get Casey pushing the buttons today as well. Thanks. Talk to you Monday.
Latest racing news.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky Tracks for Horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through HorseBills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the HorseBills.com YouTube channel. channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.